Thank you, Brother John. Good morning, church. So good that we can be together today. Praise him who is worthy and study his word. I'm really glad to see you. Hope that you brought a Bible. We're going to be looking at the scriptures together at this time. And perhaps you even grab one of the programs on your way in. You'll find on page 3 there an interactive outline. We can fill in the blanks as we study the scriptures. And it's a good tool there to keep us all on the same page. Why should you be baptized? You ever thought about it? When should you be baptized? Have you considered it? What happens the day you are baptized? One of the great joys of my life has been the opportunity to baptize people into Jesus Christ. It really is. I love to celebrate with someone who's becoming a Christian. I love to celebrate with the people in the room who are witnessing the baptism. And whether that happens on a Sunday morning and it's in front of the whole church, or whether it's an odd hour in the middle of the week and there's just a few friends or relatives gathered around, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I remember the first time I baptized somebody. It was on a Sunday morning. I was preaching in a church in a rural congregation out in Illinois. In fact, I had to drive an hour from my college campus to get there. And I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, and I remember doing a sermon on Jonah, about Jonah and running from God. And I remember when I was done and we're standing and we're singing, what I was thinking was that did not go very well. That was not a very good sermon. And so I was absolutely stunned when a young lady stepped out in the aisle and came down forward, junior high age, I guess. And I was, why is this young lady walking towards me? And I said, well, what is it? She said, I'm done running from God and I want to be baptized. And I thought, wow, all right. Of course, I'm a visitor there too, so I'm not exactly sure what we're doing next. But the brethren sprung into action, and there was a baptistry, and there was water, and we baptized her. And I remember driving home that day for over an hour, just praising God and thanking God. I said, boy, God worked that day. God worked that day. And it hasn't changed. I mean, that was over 20 years ago. And about 2 weeks ago, I had the honor to baptize Miss Vi, and that was Lorraine Dwyer. That is Lorraine Dwyer's sister. And there was just a few people. That was a Tuesday morning there for that. But when I baptized her, immersed her in the water, and it was set her up in the water, and she looked up at me, and she smiled, and she said, that was fast. And I said, well, yeah, it doesn't take very long. And she nodded, and she said, I'm glad. I feel good. And then she started crying these tears of joy and release, and it was emotional, and I got a little choked up too, and it is emotional, isn't it? Baptism, it's beautiful, it is emotional. The day you are baptized, because it is spiritual and it is exciting, it is holy, and it is special. You never forget the day you were baptized. Rarely do I ever baptize someone when I don't recall a Sunday night when I was not quite 11 years old, that I made the good confession that I believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I was baptized. And I remember the water feeling very cold that night, but I felt very warm on the inside. And the preacher was named Boyd Sellers. He baptized me. He lifted me out of the water, but I opened my eyes, and the first two people I saw were my dad and my grandfather. And they had kind of flanked him. And they gave me such big hugs. It was such a wonderful, wonderful moment. And I will tell you in all honesty, and to my shame, I haven't always lived up to the decision to become a Christian that night. But I've never doubted it. And I've never regretted it. It was the right thing to do the day I was baptized. And no, it doesn't take long to immerse someone in water, but I don't want you to think that what's happening is fast necessarily. What we need to appreciate is that God has been working since the foundation of the world to provide the day you are baptized. And it is a spiritually transformative experience to be baptized according to the scripture. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a moment, is baptism according to the scripture, because that's the day you are baptized, when you are baptized according to the scripture. And so for a couple of moments this morning, we're going to see what the scripture says about baptism. Just take a couple of moments. And here's the question that I'm going to ask you when you're done. You can be thinking about it now, but you'll know when you see it. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Will this be the day you are baptized? Will this be the day you are baptized? Now, I hope you have a Bible, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Because in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, we're going to start with the day Jesus was baptized. We're going to start with the day Jesus was baptized. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. Matthew 3 and verse 13. Now, while you're turning there, I want you to appreciate the baptism of Jesus is so important, so significant. It's spoken to in all four Gospels. All of the Gospel writers lead with this. So there's some important things happening here, okay? But we're looking at Matthew 3 and verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want you to see that when Jesus came to John that day, he came on purpose. But John was confused about all this. And I think we can understand why. Jesus didn't look like most of the people that John was preaching to and, you know, imploring to baptize. Jesus was not one of those phony Pharisees. And Jesus was not one of these corrupt tax collectors. And Jesus wasn't one of the brutal soldiers. All these different people that John is trying to tell, repent and be baptized. That's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't have sins, right? Jesus is not repenting of sin. So what is this about? And Jesus says, permit it so for now. We're going to fulfill all righteousness. And so John does it. I want you to appreciate with me that what Jesus exemplified on that occasion was water baptism. Water baptism, immersion in water. How do you know that? Well, Jesus came to John at the Jordan. That's a river to be baptized by him. That's a lot of water. John said in John chapter 1, verse 26, I baptize with water. Indeed, that was his ministry. I have been sent to baptize with water. And even in the events here in Matthew chapter 3, it says he baptized him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up from the water. Folks, you only come up from the water if you have gone down into the water. And so Jesus was immersed. It wasn't some sprinkling a little water, pouring a little bit of water. He was immersed. And I just want to point that out because Jesus never asked his followers to do something he wouldn't do or didn't do. On the day you are baptized, you will be immersed in water. That's what it is. You will be immersed in water. But now look at what happens on this day that Jesus is baptized. When Jesus is baptized, it reveals his identity, who he is. We learn on this day, and it is declared on this day, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That means he is the Savior. He's the Lamb of God. Jesus was not being baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. He doesn't have sins. He's not repenting of sins. Again, he doesn't have sins. But Jesus was being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. And he will. He will fulfill it all. He will fulfill all of God's will. He will fulfill the law and the prophets. He will fulfill it all. And when Jesus was baptized, the Father sent John to baptize with water so that it could be known and learned the identity of Jesus. In fact, if you want to, turn with me to the fourth gospel, to John chapter 1. And I want to notice a couple of things that John the Baptist said about this day. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John chapter 1 and verse 29, Scripture says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now I want you to appreciate with me where this begins. He says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And for that Jewish crowd, please appreciate that calling him the Lamb brings to mind, and we need to get a hold of this too, but it brings to mind 1,500 years of animal sacrifices, of lambs and bulls and goats, of their blood being shed in sacrifice for the atonement of the people's sins. And yet those animal sacrifices were not sufficient. And yet the people understood when they brought that lamb or they brought that animal, whatever it was, it needed to be perfect. It needed to be without spot, without blemish, nothing sick, nothing lame, nothing with any problem with it. Only the best, only the pure. And now what John says is this is the Lamb of God. Here is the sacrifice that God puts forward to take away the sin of the world, to end all these other sacrifices. And he is pure. Jesus, to be the Lamb, he had to be perfect, morally and spiritually perfect. He had to be sinless. And sinless means he did nothing wrong. He didn't violate God's will in any way. But sinless also means he did everything right. He fulfilled all righteousness and left nothing undone. He fulfilled all. Jesus' baptism revealed he is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior. But what else did John say? John said, he's the Son of God. I have seen and I have testified. He is the Son of God. And that's the second thing we learned about Jesus' identity. At his baptism, it is declared he's the Son of God. He is the Lord. John saw the Holy Spirit as a dove, and he knew that's the one, that's the Son of God. But what else? On the day Jesus was baptized, the voice was heard from on high. The voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. At the baptism, the Father is pleased. This is the Son. The Son is sufficient. The Son is pleasing. The Son is loved. The Son is ordained to accomplish all the Father's will. And then you keep reading in those Gospels, and what happens next? We follow Jesus, teaching with authority, doing miracles and signs and wonders, exercising power, showing he really is the Lord, the Son of God. Moving all the way to the cross, the Gospels give more attention to the crucifixion and resurrection than any other aspect of Jesus' life. And what happens at the cross? There is the Lamb of God, making the sacrifice and laying down his life for the sins of the world. And he's the only one who can do it. Let's talk about that sacrifice for a moment. Number two in your notes, we're going to pay attention to the day Jesus was buried. We talk about the day that Jesus was baptized, but now number two, let's notice the day that Jesus is buried. And I want to go in the New Testament with you to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. While you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our eyes are going to notice this word gospel. It means good news. Paul's going to tell you, I declared the gospel to you and that the gospel saves you if you hang on to it. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then the 12. We are told that the gospel is God's power to salvation. We are told it saves. Hold on to it. And then he begins to share these facts of the gospel. What's a fact? The fact is Jesus died. What's the evidence that Jesus died? He's buried. You bury a dead man. You don't bury a living man. You bury a dead man. Here's a fact. Jesus rose again. What's the evidence Jesus rose again? He was seen. There were eyewitnesses. It's Peter and the 12, eventually it's Paul, right? Several people saw him alive. That's the fact. And all of this, we are told, happened according to the scriptures. This is God's plan, promised, prophesied, and written down before it occurred. I love Brother Creed's talk at the table today because he was showing according to the scriptures. I mean, that's really what he did for us there. That was fantastic. And look, if he died and rose according to God's plan, that I want you to appreciate, he died and rose for God's purpose. And we're told why he died. It wasn't for his sins. It wasn't because he did anything wrong. It says he died for our sins. He died for our sins. That's the reason that we're told, to save us from our sins. He died and he is the sinless Savior. By the gospel, his death for sins and resurrection takes away our sins. And if it didn't happen, there is no Savior. We're still in our sins. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, that is said. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. This makes Jesus the sinless Savior. And the cross is where the righteous requirement of sin is paid. That is death. And they buried him. Only the Lamb of God, only the Savior could die that death to redeem us from our sins. Not only does it declare he is the sinless Savior, but it is declared he is the risen, reigning Lord. He is the risen, reigning Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 25, not only does he live, not only is he risen, but it says, verse 25 says, he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. Jesus is Lord now. He lives now, he reigns now. And the power of resurrection is new life, and it is everlasting life. And because Jesus is Lord, he has a rightful claim and authority on you, on me, on the whole world. That's who Jesus is. But I want you to appreciate he does not exercise that authority through coercion. He doesn't twist anybody's arm. What does Jesus do? Jesus offers invitation. Come to me. Come to me is the good news of the gospel. Follow him. Serve him. Know him. Love him. He loves you. He died for you. He lives. And he forgives. He gives new life. He makes you new. That's who Jesus is. The sinless Savior. The risen Lord. Declared in his baptism. Accomplished in his death and resurrection. Now then. Who are you? Where are you? I want to talk about the day you're baptized. Number 3 in your notes. The day you are baptized. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes reminding Christians about the day they were baptized. He asks a question at the end of verse 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Romans 6 and verse 3 says this, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Yeah. The day you're baptized. Well, we're going to talk about that. A remarkable thing about the book of Romans is to also tell people and remind people about those days before you're baptized. What that life was like. What that looked like. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, that sin means, well, then you owe death. The wages of sin is death. It's not a pretty picture of life before Christ. It's not a pretty picture of life before we're baptized, those days before we're baptized. We have been selfish. We have been sinful. We have been disobedient. We have been rebellious and hurtful towards God, towards family, towards neighbors, towards loved ones. That's life before there's sin. We're also told in the days before baptism about the incredible love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God loved you. Jesus died for you. In your sins and ungodliness, we don't deserve it. But his blood is shed, his sacrifice is made so that we can be justified, so that we can be made right with God through Christ. One other picture from Romans about this life, the days before we're baptized. It's one of slavery to sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of sin. Enslaved to it. But slaves who were told, slaves who were taught about Jesus. That's what doctrine means. It means a teaching. These slaves were delivered a teaching about Jesus. It was slaves who were given the gospel of Christ, and they believed it and they obeyed it. And when they did, they were set free from sin. It's a message that can be believed. It's a message that can be obeyed, and it sets you free from sin. And we wonder, well, what is that teaching they were given? What was it that they had obeyed from their heart? Well, it's right there in Romans 6. Verse 17 talks about obeying a teaching that they had been delivered. But Romans 6 and verse 3 calls to mind what it was. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. They obeyed it. They were set free from sin the day they were baptized. Now, the day you're baptized, you obey the Lord. The Lord commands baptism. The Lord Jesus commands it. The Lord reigns. He reigns in baptism. It came from God. It didn't come from anyone else. We have the Lord directing this in these passages we call the Great Commission, when he is sending the apostles out to preach the gospel and make it known the world over, right? In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, upon his resurrection, he says to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, he is the Lord. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He sends them out to make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, they say, you're going to be baptized. Part of being this disciple, becoming this disciple, is being baptized. Mark 16. Another account of it, upon the resurrection, he says to the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. If you believe the gospel, it says you're going to be baptized and saved. Jesus said that's how you respond. And so that's from the Lord. That's why we read it in the New Testament. And then we go and follow along in the book of Acts and the epistles. Well, what did the apostles do with this charge? What did they teach as he directed? Well, the apostles were directing people to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. That is by his authority. And this baptism, again, is an immersion in water. This baptism that Jesus commanded, he didn't change the element. How do you know that? Because the apostles went and did what he said, and they were baptizing people in water. Acts 8 verse 36, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? The Ethiopian treasurer asked. Acts 10 verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized? The apostle Peter asked about Cornelius' household. It's water, and it's immersion in water. Again, from the Ethiopian treasurer in Acts chapter 8. He went down into the water, he baptized them, and they came up out of the water. Down into the water, come up out of the water. This is immersion in water. That's what the Lord directed. That's what they did. And here's the point. If you believe Jesus is the Lord, demonstrated by his resurrection, you believe that then your faith obeys him as Lord. And your faith obeys in baptism. In baptism. You say you believe the gospel. You say you believe that he's the Lord. Then you do what he commands. You obey him. We can say we believe he's the Lord all we want, but it's when we obey him that he's our Lord and reigning in our lives. And that starts right here with baptism, on the day that you're baptized. Second thing I want you to appreciate is on the day you're baptized, you're forgiven by the Savior. The Savior works in baptism. That's Jesus. He's Lord and Savior. I'm going to share with you five things, five ways the Savior works the day you're baptized. And then this lesson is going to be yours. The first is this. Baptism is for the remission of sins. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when the Apostle Peter is preaching the gospel for the first time to that assembled multitude, he concludes his message this way in Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You've crucified Jesus, the Lord, the Christ. And they said, we were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remission is a word that means release of penalty, release of guilt. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord, the Christ, obey him. Repent and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the remission of your sins. The Savior's working there. Number two, baptism unites us with the death of Christ. Why did he die? We read it together. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. I know we've read Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 a couple of times, but as we go on together in that reading, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We take our sins into the water of baptism with him. We're baptized into his death, and those sins are paid for. We're united with him in the death, and we're released. We're freed. We're forgiven. Because here we're united with the death of Christ for our sins. There's spiritual work going on. It's called spiritual operation, in so many words, in Colossians chapter 2. When the Savior forgives you, it occasions spiritual operation. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Call back there to the Old Testament, to the sign of the people of God, a physical operation. But he goes on. This is not a physical operation. This is one made without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. A putting off, a removal of all those sins when you're buried with him in baptism. By faith, God has forgiven you these things, making you new, a spiritual operation. Finally, I want you to notice this. Baptism, not finally, baptism, number four, baptism is to be baptized into Christ, into a new family, into a new life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. It is so beautiful. And if there was a verse that said, you pray into Christ, I would read it to you. And if there was a verse that said, you believe into Christ, I'd read it to you. But see, when you believe in Christ, you obey Him, you're baptized, and you're baptized into Christ. This immersion in water that unites you in Christ, and you have new life in Christ. All things become new. It's very exciting. Finally, I want you to see this. Here's the finally, number five. Then in baptism, you're saved and you're added to His church. And we would go back here to Acts chapter 2 in this day of Pentecost. We read a moment ago how when the people asked what to do, they were told to repent and be baptized. Those are the two things they could do. Now it goes on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, and the scripture says this. With many other words, that's the Apostle Peter. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What was he telling them to do? Be saved. That's the word he's preaching. Be saved in Christ, but be saved. The ones that believed it, the ones that received his word, they wanted to be saved. What did they do? They were baptized. The baptized folks, the Lord added to his church, his people. And that continued on. He adds to the church those who are being saved. You get saved and you're added to the church in the same time and in the same way. It's the day you are baptized. The day you are baptized. Well, when we started our lesson a little while ago, we noticed how in all four Gospels, there is mention made of this occasion when Jesus was baptized. They lead with it. It is very important. Written in the Bible. I want you to know something. That on the day that you're baptized, it's written down also. You say, well, I'm sure Dave Morrow, because he writes down everything. Not just Dave Morrow. You know where it's written? You know who takes note? It's God Almighty. Your name is written in the book of life. It's recorded in the Lamb's book of life. The day you are baptized. The day your sins are washed away and you are united with Christ and added to the body of Christ. And so Saul of Tarsus was asked by the preacher Ananias, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If we want our sins forgiven, if we want new life in Christ, if we want the promise and the hope and the blessing, we don't have to wait. We pick the day and we're baptized. We're baptized. So if you want to put your notes away, you want to put your Bibles away, Brother Bassett's going to come forward and lead us in another song. I want you to think about this. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins to save you, if you believe Jesus rose from the grave to reign, you believe He's the Lord, you believe He's the Savior, then won't you obey? Won't you be baptized? And this is the question. Will you, this day, be baptized? Will this be the day you're baptized? I hope so. I'm praying so. And if you want to be baptized, come forward and let me know. Come forward and tell me now as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?